This is Truthdig Radio from KPFK in Los Angeles. I'm Truthdig.com managing editor Peter Z. Scheer. We are back on air after a brief hiatus. Hope you missed us. If you didn't, then sucks for you. In a moment, we hope to have former Representative Dennis Kucinich, who's written a tough new piece in The Guardian about the crisis in Gaza that, as we go to air, has claimed the lives, the U.S. estimates, of at least 1,380 Palestinian civilians and two Israeli civilians. But first, while we wait for the good congressman, we are going to turn to an issue in the Federal District of Columbia. An increasing number of states and municipalities in this country have decided to decriminalize or legalize the use of marijuana, either for medicinal or recreational use. And we've seen the federal government struggle with how to enforce federal statutes that consider marijuana an illegal drug. Now, the city of Washington, D.C. is putting a measure on the ballot in November that could legalize marijuana use in our nation's capital. Joining us to speak about the issue is Michael Sindich. He's an attorney in San Diego, a former prosecutor, and a member of the organization LEAP, that's Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Let me ask you, what's going on in D.C.? There's a ballot measure in November to fully legalize marijuana. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's correct. There's a ballot initiative that would legalize the possession of up to 2 ounces of marijuana, the cultivation of up to 6 marijuana plants, the transfer of up to an ounce of marijuana amongst individuals, as well as the legalization of the sale of marijuana paraphernalia.
And do you feel like there's a groundswell to pass this? Have you seen any polling? Is there any indication that this will go through?
Well, it looks like legalization measures are high in D.C. Now, the polling that I've seen haven't been specifically related to this initiative, but just to legalization in general. However, based on some of the other cities and states that we're seeing legalizing, I think that this looks like a pretty solid measure.
You know, I'm reminded of, I was just listening to the radio and some judge said about gay marriage, we've seen it legalized in other states and the sky hasn't fallen. You could say the same thing about marijuana legalization.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, we're really there's really a lot of ground that needs to be made up on the marijuana legalization side, but I think we're seeing a lot of important steps.
Now, let me ask you, because my legal understanding is fuzzy on this, but isn't D.C. under the jurisdiction of Congress ultimately, and wouldn't Congress just shoot this thing down?
Well, we've seen Congress shoot things like this down in the past, but we are seeing bipartisan support of different marijuana legalization measures and medical marijuana legalization measures and, you know, different banking issues. So I don't think, you know, it would take a lot to have a measure like this shot down. And in this day and age, and with the public support for marijuana legalization, I just don't see that happening.
Even in Washington, D.C., where you have all of these, you know, lawmakers who want to show how tough they are on drugs or how tough they are on crime, in quotes?
Yes, but this is really an issue for D.C., and the D.C. Policymakers are making this decision, and they're putting it out for a vote. So, you know, as far as the federal government stepping in and you know, trying to change that, you know, I think, like I said, maybe back in 1998 when the initial medical marijuana program was passed in D.C., you know, Congress put up a fight. But I think now in this day and age with the support for marijuana, I think things have slowly changed.
Now, I want to ask you, as a former prosecutor, I'm reminded of this documentary, a great documentary people should see if they get a chance, called The House I Live In by Eugene Jarecki. And it's all about the drug war in the United States. And the most persuasive statements in that documentary come from the people who are tasked with prosecuting and putting in jail, including judges and lawyers and police officers, the people who are charged with finding and arresting and jailing people involved in the drug war, drug users, drug sellers, just the incredible frustration with how the system doesn't work, according to the findings of this documentary. Is that your experience as a prosecutor? Is that what brings you to the movement to end prohibition?
Absolutely. This discussion comes up all the time. And, you know, I say it time and time again, the prison system, especially in relation to drug offenders, is a revolving door. People get arrested, they go in, they can get drugs just as easily on the inside sometimes as they can on the outside. They don't get any treatment for their addiction or their condition, and they come right back out and commit additional offenses and go right back in. So yeah, it's very frustrating, and especially as a former prosecutor, when I was prosecuting cases, you see the same people over and over again coming back with similar offenses, and we're not really doing much to rehabilitate them. We're just punishing them for something that oftentimes is an addiction that they can't control.
Now, do you draw the line at marijuana, or would you see other drugs decriminalized or legalized?
I would see all drugs decriminalized and legalized. You know, I think that the harm, you know, we see, on one hand, we see with marijuana, but oftentimes, as far as the revolving door in the prison system, that's with all drugs. As far as overdoses that we're seeing, and there's several support groups of parents who have lost children to overdoses, and that's because in this unregulated market, you never know what you're getting, and people are oftentimes getting something that's too strong or dirty, and we're seeing a lot of overdose deaths. So, you know, I would see it with all drugs. You know, all drugs, the illegal market in the United States is supporting gang activity, drug cartels overseas, and really this is something we can control, and there are other countries that are looking to us to control this and to help put a stop to some of the gang violence that's taking place because of the demand that's here in the United States for these substances coming from overseas.
This is Truth Dig Radio, and our guest is Michael Sindich. He's a former prosecutor and attorney in San Diego. He's with an organization called Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. We're talking about Washington, D.C.'s effort to potentially legalize marijuana. Let me ask you, as someone who is working as an attorney in California, you have all these jurisdictional issues in California since the legalization of medicinal marijuana in this state. As I understand it, the wording of the law itself is pretty vague, and it leaves, you know, open a lot of, you know, oh, I've got insomnia, I've got headaches. I mean, basically, like, it's pretty easy to get a prescription for marijuana in this state. At the same time, you have different levels of authorities trying to sort this out. You've got federal authorities who say, absolutely not, you can't sell drugs and their drugs, and we don't care what the state does. You've got state authorities, you've got city authorities in Oakland, they're trying to tax for revenue. So it's a lot of confusion on the who's in charge here, and what do ordinary people make of all this?
Yeah, there is a ton of confusion here in California. You know, the federal government, they step in on some cases and prosecute, in other cases they don't. And for people who are involved in the medical marijuana industry, it's very frustrating because they don't know where that line is drawn. So all the people can really do is try to comply with state law. But even under state law, depending on what jurisdiction you're in, you're going to get different prosecutors that view the law differently. I was just in court this morning on a case, and I had a prosecutor, one of the individuals, it's a co-defendant case, one of the individuals being prosecuted was actually being prosecuted because this DA thinks that he was buying marijuana or buying marijuana clones. I looked at the DA and I said, there's nowhere in the law that says that buying marijuana is illegal. And you know, there are DAs that have a very little understanding of the medical marijuana laws, and they will prosecute these cases, and sometimes they'll take them to trial and lose the trial just because it's a political issue for the jurisdiction that they're in. So really, we're seeing a lot of different issues, and then you have the whole dispensary issue, where on a state level, dispensaries can be set up legally, but now in each city and county, different laws and regulations are being passed that are limiting the ability of people to gain access to their medicine. They're prohibiting dispensaries, or they're creating such strict zoning that dispensaries can't really exist. So now you have all these sick people who don't have access to their medicine, and even going even further, there are some cities and counties that are flat out banning not only dispensaries, but also personal cultivation. So if people in those districts, they really have no access whatsoever to medical marijuana.
So do you think that's why other states and municipalities have turned towards just blanket legalization as opposed to medicinal use?
Well, I think a lot of these other states are seeing that marijuana legalization and that marijuana in general, it goes beyond just the medical side of this. We have a lot of people that are resorting to alcohol, for example. In my opinion, people that use alcohol and alcohol legalization in general, it has a much more, the impact on society is much greater with alcohol than marijuana. And what we're seeing in places like Colorado, many people are now turning to marijuana, and there are less fights, there are less fatalities, just roadside fatalities in general. And I think partly because less people are drinking, more people are resorting to marijuana, that's having less of an impact on society.
Let me get your take on something. As I understand it, a state can legalize the use of marijuana, and the Supreme Court has decided that employers can still test for and fire people for using marijuana, even if they're prescribed by a doctor and using it medicinally. And is that fair? And I guess, how do we change that?
you know, it's not fair. Unfortunately, many of the protections for employees are based on federal statutes and federal laws. And, you know, the federal government hasn't gone so far as to provide protections for people who use cannabis, obviously, because cannabis is still a Schedule I controlled substance under federal law. So in these states that are enacting medical marijuana legalization efforts and full-on recreational marijuana legalization efforts, there needs to be components in those laws that address the employer-employee relationship and provide some protections for employees.
This is Truth Dig Radio, and our guest is Michael Sindich. He's a former prosecutor. He's with the Law Enforcement Against Prohibition group we've been speaking to and about, and also the executive director of San Diego County Normal. Let's talk about football. You have some experience with this because your father is a famous football agent, and we see a lot in the news about football players suffering really serious brain injuries, and there are all these lawsuits, there are all these treatments going around, and one of the issues that's come up is that football players are penalized when they use marijuana, but marijuana can be an effective therapy for players who've been injured. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, absolutely. I've spoken to dozens of current and retired NFL football players who would prefer to use marijuana for their injuries. They are being pushed. There are all different types of painkillers and other pills, and you know, that are being pushed on NFL players. And you know, a lot of these substances are extremely addictive. Many of these people would prefer to use marijuana to treat their conditions, but yeah, they can't because the NFL will penalize them for that. And you know, the NFL, even if you're not active, if there's a chance you're going to be active and you're subject to testing, if you fail to test, refuse to test, then you can face consequences. So, I mean, really, we're seeing a situation where even in states like Colorado or Washington, where marijuana is legal to consume for recreational purposes, the NFL still isn't allowing their players to choose that option. And, you know, I think it's wrong. I think there needs to be some changes in the NFL. And as more studies are coming out that are showing that marijuana is beneficial for certain health conditions and that it's, you know, for other health conditions, it's not as bad as what you know, society has you know, tried to pound into our head for the last 40 years, and I think the NFL really needs to start making some changes.
The NFL and perhaps Congress, as we began this discussion talking about D.C. potentially decriminalizing or legalizing, actually, marijuana. And that is an amazing image to ponder in the center of American federal government, where you have congressmen and senators walking around, that someone could just sort of whip out a bong and take a rip on the steps of the Capitol building is kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if they're going to allow public consumption of marijuana. You know, in Colorado, you still can't consume, you can't smoke a joint openly. You have to be in the privacy of your own home or on your property. So I don't know if they would go that far in D.C., but yeah, I mean, essentially people are going to be, you know, there could be someone growing marijuana right next to a federal building, and they could be doing so legally as far as the D.C. municipal code is concerned.
One has to imagine, I mean, I'm sorry, I just have to be skeptical about this. I just can't imagine the Justice Department letting, or Congress for that matter, letting this happen.
Yeah, and I understand your skepticism because, you know, we're still seeing some issues in medical states and the legal states where the federal government is still heavily involved in enforcing federal laws. So, I mean, I definitely share that skepticism. You know, I would like to believe, though, that once the will of the council members and the will of the voter, once that's ultimately determined, if it's legalized, then, you know, hopefully the federal government would back that decision up, or at least take a step back and say, hey, you know, as long as you're taking care of our priorities. And just prior to Labor Day in 2013, the federal government put out a list of about 8 bullet points that were federal priorities for marijuana enforcement. And, you know, as long as these cities, states, and districts are taking care of those federal priorities, we would hope that the federal government would take a step back and allow these areas to legislate on their own.
Just a last question, Michael. We saw under President Obama's administration a wavering support for medicinal marijuana and legalized marijuana, telling the Justice Department to back off in certain cases, and then certain U.S. attorneys and deputy U.S. attorneys acting to crack down on marijuana, and then things just going all over the place. And what happens when we get a new president who maybe takes a more aggressive attitude?
Yeah, it's going to create some problems. My guess is by the time we have a new president, more than half of the states will have medical or legalization measures in place. Once that happens, once more than half the states have that, I think it's going to be very difficult for any federal agency or administration to step in and reverse that. I mean, I think it's just once you have over half the country saying this is what we want, you know, really they're going to have to take a look at that. And it's my hopes that whoever runs for office in the next election, you know, they discuss the marijuana issue, and hopefully we have some favorable candidates.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your expertise.
Well, thank you very much for having me on.